Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep.
You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jesse Mae. I'm excited to tell you guys about Hakuna, who I've been working with closely. They're making delicious CBD coffees and also are the creators of my new stash boxes and my stash jars and my grinders. If you're into that weed life, or if you just want a place to hide something in a box, could be your secrets. It could be a small, I don't know, engraved head from some trip you took in Tempe, Arizona. Whatever you need to hide, you can put it in the Hakuna box. Hakuna is an amazing company. Everything they make is in-house. It's all well handmade with amazing wood. And one of the reasons why I partnered with them is because of their charitable nature. A portion of the proceeds go to the World Wildlife Foundation. And every stash box comes with a cute little package of plantable seed paper. So you guys can plant a tree. Hello. Give back to the ecosystem that we're just sucking dry and it's trying to burn us off the planet because we're just really overusing everything. We need to get back to nature. Also, a portion of the coffee goes to Go Bee Foundation that helps homeless veterans in Southern California. And coffee's always ground fresh and made to order, y'all. That's out of the way. It's Jesse Mae, and I'm very excited to be sitting down with my super special guest. Alyssa Kennedy Jones, who sat down and was like, I have to tell you how I broke my face in 16 places.
I broke my whole face. I broke my whole
Monday.
Yeah. So you're getting the, you know, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I feel sorry. I want to say sorry, but I mean, what the fuck happened? Tell me about the epileptic life.
Oh my gosh. Well, most people don't know that 65 million people have epilepsy, and I didn't know anything about epilepsy until I...
You were in your 40s.
I was 40 when I was diagnosed. And so,
is that common or is that like...
I didn't know. I was on my way to the Television Academy. I was a single mom writing. We were here in L.A., we were headed out to see Nanny McPhee, and
yeah.
I wasn't swearing or doing anything bad at all.
You can let out any fucks you want.
Oh
here.
My gosh, I haven't been able to swear for a while. So fuck.
Because you said you were in Sacramento.
I was in Sacramento. Greta Gerwig was right. It is the Midwest of California. Everyone is so nice there. And yeah. They're coming at you with baked goods and gluten.
There's stuff in those baked goods.
They
be careful.
Put your book in the window next to like all the other fancy people.
Gotham Girl interrupted my misadventures in motherhood, love, and epilepsy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Oh, God. Yeah. So they're really nice in Sacramento. And so I haven't sworn for quite a while. But I had a seizure at age 40, and it started out, I knew something was kind of wrong.
How? Like what did you feel?
I had gone to get some coffee at Starbucks on Lincoln in Venice, and
that'll give anyone an epileptic seizure.
Damn. And so I was driving home in like our old family dog car, which is like a Lovecraft, and you smell like a taco. It used to run on... Every time you drive it, because it runs on vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Anyway.
you smell like a taco.
You do. You're just like, I smell like fried food. but I had this, like, if you imagine your eyes having two projectors, one with the film going backward.
Right.
And right as I'm driving, and which is really dangerous, and one with the film, one eye going forward.
Whoa.
So I paused, and I was like, whoa, what kind of Donnie Darko movie am I in?
I love that movie.
And so And then people are honking at me, but I'm like 5 feet away from my house. So I pull it like 5 miles an hour into the driveway. And I'm like, okay, everybody, we got to go. We got to go to Nanny McPhee. And we're headed toward the car. And my editor always wants me to say things like, oh, you melted into the floor. And I'm like, I didn't melt into the
floor. Melted into the floor.
I didn't. The
world Is that how you would describe it?
No. I, the world kind of fell away. And it was like being, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life as I was having this seizure on my kitchen floor. It was like being trapped in a Van Gogh painting.
Really?
It was huge, visually, huge fireworks. And I kept trying to tell my youngest daughter, I was like, oh, it's like a fucking, and I didn't say fucking, but I was like, oh, it's a fucking lightning storm in my head.
That sounds like a nightmare, but visually, not like with, did it come with pain?
No pain. No pain.
There's no pain. There was no pain associated with your specific seizure.
Yeah, it was the most beautiful thing.
That's ironic.
It's weird.
That's really strange.
You look, I think, to people around you, or at least I look like I'm in pain because I'm on the ground.
Right.
Like,
I've shaking, seen it a couple times. Convulsing. Not you specifically, but I've seen it happen.
Well, I'm imitating it right now. Like, oh, I mean, I haven't seen me, but my kids have and my friends have. And it's really terrifying.
It is them. Terrifying.
But I'm not having any kind of pain. When I wake up, I have crazy wake up stories where I look like a prize fighter. Or, I mean, I wake up to a middle-aged, you know, hippie in Northern California who's like, dude, you need
like,
some
bro,
brownie.
You okay?
Bro.
Bro, you need a brownie.
And she's in a Muppet sweater or something. And I'm like, oh, okay. I know. I've just had a seizure. That's kind of what it is. Waking up is hard. I've woken up to an evangelical Christian trying to, you know, exercise my demon.
I mean, that I've put me back to sleep.
Yeah, I was like, I'm saved. I'm definitely saved. Praise the Lord.
That would put me back into a seizure.
Jesus Christ. Yes.
We've got to save her.
Seriously. So it was bad. But I was woken up by my girlfriend because we were all meeting for the movie. And I came to her kind of velvety voice and she was like, darling, you've had a seizure. And
wow.
I was like, I really had no idea about epilepsy. I had no family history of it in my, no one had ever really spoken to me about it. I knew about neurodiversity and different, and I'd read Oliver Sacks and different kinds of like things can go awry in one's brain and we're all wired very differently. But I didn't know about this. And I really thought, I mean, once I got my brain around it, no pun intended, that I had it under control before I broke my whole face. So
you had the seizure, the first one at 40, and then you broke your face.
I thought I had nailed it. I thought I'd cracked the code of dealing with seizures and dealing with medications. And it was a good cocktail in my head for about 5 years. From trying, and I had hundreds of seizures and subclinical.
Really?
Yeah.
What's this ecstatic?
The ecstatic bit comes before for me.
Okay.
And then...
Is that a type of seizure, ecstatic epileptic? Epilepsy?
Yeah. There are about 40 different types of seizures that you can have. You can have the kind of... Mine kind of start in my temporal lobe and then generalize across my entire brain.
Wow.
So I'm just little fires everywhere.
Sounds like my past relationships.
Like the book. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Sounds like all my exes. A couple big ones in there too.
Yeah, but it's chronic, and that's the thing. There are so many people with chronic conditions out there, and so I started thinking about it in that way. And I started, and I've of course woken up in kind of cuckoo circumstances.
I'm sure.
But
is there like indicators for you now? Are you able to sort of sniff it out?
Yeah, I am.
So, what are you looking for yourself specifically?
Well, I watch myself pretty intensely when it comes to sleep and stress. And so the book tour has been an interesting...
God, how ironic is that?
You are my 10th city.
Oh, I feel honored.
And I was really lost.
I know, please. God, I feel so bad. Her travels here were like she was on the wrong side of town.
Drop me off here.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, and epilepsy, you know, I don't drive because I'm now 84 days seizure free, something like that. I had a seizure 84 days ago, and that's big for me. That's a good thing.
Is that one of the longest runs?
No, my longest almost run was 3 years.
Wow.
And so it was a bummer. So book tours, traveling, I always watch hydration.
Yes.
I think there's been so much. I spent the last couple weeks, I was with Living Well with Epilepsy in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and there's so much progress with cannabis, and there's so with the Pedialex and Living Well with Epilepsy. So they working with those types of, with that blog and those types of the people and the different writers who contribute there, it's helped me to learn, you know, what my triggers are. So lack of sleep, big stress.
Dehydration.
I do watch my alcohol.
I watch mine and I drink it.
Yeah.
I look at it and then I consume
but
it.
But I'm very much into like self-regulation, self-moderation.
Yeah.
Like that, because it's just, I don't want to, it's not the seizure itself. It's what it does to the people around me.
Right.
I think it really traumatizes. And and the waking up, crawling back to existence. Oh,
what is that? Yeah. So how many kids do you have? Two?
I have two kids.
Right.
I have two daughters. And
how old are they?
They are, I'm an old lady, so they
you
are.
Look, you look hot. So yeah, you're doing everything fine.
I was
fine.
Like, are you
you're
kidding? Doing I'm fine. Like fucking Sasquatch here. I am I need to do my eyebrows.
I mean, the struggle of a woman. You guys don't have to worry. No man, unless he's on RuPaul's Drag Race, has to worry about putting on a fucking eyebrow.
Oh my God.
We draw our features on. Like, maybe that's why we look angry all the time, because we draw our brows angry at
resting
you.
resting freak face, resting resistance face. I have all the things.
How old are your daughters?
They're 18 and 21.
Well, so that's one upside, that they're old enough to sort of grasp what's going on, but it's probably still regardless
but when
difficult.
It started, yeah, I think it really, and that's the other thing is, I have to give them the space. My job is to love them. And,
right.
And try to take care of their mental health. And that can mean like they don't need, I mean, to see their mom dying, and especially my younger daughter, my eldest daughter, not exposed to it as much.
Right.
And I just want to preserve their little hearts.
I know.
For the rest
that's your mom job, your desire, I should say. It's not your job, but it's, I would imagine as a mom, you want to protect them from everything.
Please don't be traumatized by seeing. But this is why, I mean, we need some science here.
Yes.
Big time.
And what are the most alarming and surprising things you've learned about seizures specifically with you? Since it's been introduced in your life
and like, I was doing all the things that the yoga Becky moms do that are
kale,
like,
yeah,
just
kale, kale and lattes, book club, wheatgrass, shots, don't I look?
And you're like, okay, you want to put something in your face, let me tell you about it.
Oh, Jesus, I got so much pins and so many pins.
Yeah, you broke your face.
I broke my whole face.
How long ago was that?
This was 2015, April. Wow. I woke up in the grocery store down the street from our house in New York City.
So much shit happens at the grocery stores. It's like everything in life happens at the grocery store.
It was that awful.
Murder,
I just
seizures.
Wanted coffee. I was trying to do, like Susie Orman told me, I was trying to do the right thing. I was buying a can of coffee. I was making it home. I was not going for fancy coffee. And all of a sudden, I wake up to the most handsome guy.
Oh,
this will happen to you in New York, I think, at some point.
Yeah, the most awkward thing, a handsome man comes, you shart yourself on the subway, and here comes Dr. McDreamy.
Yes, and he's like, ma'am, he's like, don't speak. And
you're like, well, I'm not. I'm going to squirt.
Hello. I'm shooting eggs at this guy, like you were saying. He's like Milo Ventimiglia woke me up in the grocery store. Yeah. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at his shirt. And I'm like, he's covered in blood. And he's like, don't speak. I'm like, that's a fucking Walking Dead amount of blood. And he is. And I'm like, is that my brain? Did I just get brain on a hot guy? And I, in the grocery store.
Brain on hot guy.
I was like, no.
That's a porno category.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. So I did not know the extent of my injuries. I'd broken my face in 16 places.
What did you fall onto?
I fell onto a shelf. But you have a lot of strength, I think, when you're having a tonic-clonic type of seizure.
Right.
And again, all information is available on the Epilepsy Foundation website, because that's where I learned about
yeah,
a lot
I'll,
of this.
I'll be adding those links definitely yeah, for people I mean, who are interested.
It was fucked up, but it was something also that can happen to anyone with a brain.
Yes.
At this point. And I had no idea how many people. I'm like, we're everywhere. There are so many of us. But I had broken my face. I had to have magically, I was ended up with a doctor who kind of zoomed in. He was like Walter Matthau, kind of grandpa, amazing person who's like, yeah, you shattered this side of your face, this side of your face. And this is where my chin came through.
Wow.
And I broke all my teeth. So I had to have 6 surgeries, and so I still have to get new teeth, like right here. I'm sure you can see, but.
Can I say one thing? You look, for that having happened, and regardless of that, you're a beautiful woman, but you look amazing.
I couldn't talk for a year.
Oh, that must have driven you nuts.
I was fucking wild. So
how did you?
Straws.
What a nightmare in California. Aren't those illegal now?
They are.
You're like, what the fuck?
I
smashed my face and now I can't use straws.
And I can't talk. And it's like,
so how did you, what did you learn in not being able to communicate? Because I feel like we have very similar energy. You communicate really well. You have vibrance to you. What did you learn in not being able to communicate about yourself?
Well, I couldn't make any faces because all my facial nerves were cut. So I only had this side of my face.
Right.
And I'm still strokey that way. But I have to find a way to communicate. I was like, a little bits of ASL.
You're nuts.
No,
I'm still strokey. You're great.
I'm terrible. I'm like Frankie Bergstein in the car. But I had to do everything. My language was not coming back. That was the other thing.
Wow.
So I go to try to say a really simple word like garage.
Right.
And the word would come out yard, garbage, garage. And my youngest daughter would be like, Mom. And I'm like, she would be really scared.
I'm sure.
And I worry for her because she would say, I would like, that's, put the dish in the thing that is for the washing of the dish. And she's
right.
Like, you mean the sink? And I'm like, that's not a word.
You're like, come on. That can't be the way you say it. It's not that simple. Let me describe
the
like, sink.
Mom, that's a word. That is actually a word.
You had to learn words again.
Yeah. So, and I couldn't say peas, B's and V's. That was a real problem after I broke my face.
P's, V's, and B's.
Yeah, so like vagina.
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 And depending on the day of the week, I got a vagina. I'll tell you that.
Bjorn Borg brings bravado to whatever. And I had to do a lot of that. And I had to do a lot of, I chose my little voice on my iPad to kind of communicate with people. And so I chose this fancy fucking amazing BBC commentator person.
Yeah, you're going to get the best.
My voice. And no one in New York could understand me. Like, bitch.
You're like, just get the regular one. You're
bougie.
Like, no.
Stop it.
I need a bougie communicator. You don't know what I've fucking been through. My face broke in 16 places at respect.
I need a bougie communicator with the doctor. And I was really scared when they unwired me because I really felt like, and I was full of pins and everything. So, and I didn't look like me. So I also had to negotiate that piece.
Yeah.
And so I was walking down Broadway and I'm like, I'm realizing that I'm not going to be well for probably a year and a half, maybe more than
that. To getting back to like a baseline.
A baseline.
Right.
Healthy, looking like a person.
Right. And feeling
like,
do
I scare children?
Right.
And feeling like a person. And I did go, I had like really great moments with just basic, like very basic New York people going, what'd you do, lady? And
I love New York.
I know.
I love New York that way.
What happened? Oh, Jesus. Is she trying to say something? And just, but even going into Sephora, like, girl, and like, you need a, I was like, I had to relearn to do my makeup.
Yep.
Because everything was fallen. And I was also, I was like a,
like swollen?
Yeah. Because you're full of steroids and you're full of little tent poles keeping everything kind of healing. And you're full
of
metal.
Holy fuck.
So Sephora kind of saved me. She was like, bitch, sit down. And I was this woman, this Bobby Brown makeup artist. And she was like, I'm going to teach you how to be a girl again.
Yeah, I'd be a badass through all this. Yeah.
I'm just like, thank you.
I'm not going to let a seizure and 16 spot face injuries like, hold me back from
tell
my
me where it hurts, but I couldn't get, you know, I mean, I was full of plates and full of stuff. So people were really amazing.
Yeah. And did any of that like brazen approach ever affect you negatively? Like people being like, whoa.
I had one comedian who is a wonderful person.
Name names.
I can't. He's awesome. And he's great. And he's a great host and he's great. But we were after drinks and I had been a total jerk at his set. I was like a little heckler.
And I think you get a pass. And I don't want anyone else who's watching this or listening to think they get a fucking pass. I'm giving her one. I don't even know what happened, and I'm giving her a pass.
No, I was just but our friends like went off to get drinks or something like that, and he was like, "How is it that you're not totally developmentally delayed?" And from epilepsy, and I'm like, I kind of hurt my feelings.
What the fuck?
And he used a word that was much worse than that.
The R word that everyone, yeah.
And
that
was my one tough moment and I hope I'm answering your question.
Yeah, no, you are.
Where I had to like,
right.
I was like, science.
Yeah.
A lot of science.
Yeah.
People who've made strides. Oliver Sacks.
Yeah.
All kinds of neurologists. I mean, you think the brain is weird. The brain is, with 100 billion cells, is weirder than you can think.
Yeah, the brain is like the universe, man. There's like so many spaces that we're never going to know what
it's
and how it works.
It's the moonshot that we need.
Yeah.
It's the money moonshot. And it, but so that kind of hurt my feelings.
Did it change you? Did it make you
maybe a lot more sensitive to what people across the spectrum of the perception of what epilepsy is and how it left you? And so in like working on the book, and I was just finishing the book, I was like, I wanted to write a book and I needed a bet to change the way we talked about it.
That's interesting. That's a great reason and motivation to write a book.
I needed some funny, because what I was seeing was, oh, you poor thing.
And the other side of it being so clinical that it's hard to digest all of that. I mean,
yeah.
It's a lot of science, especially when you're talking about the brain and neuroscience. Like some of those words are 17 consonants long.
Exactly.
Can I get a vowel?
I can't say it. I couldn't say it. My friend was like, you had a thermonuclear. I was like, I can't say it.
You're like,
that.
I'm stuck at sink.
Stuck at sink. I've got a fucking taser in my brain. And that's the thing, is you wake up with like, I'm coming to.
Yeah, what's it like coming to? Like, is it different every time? Is there some things that always happen?
There's always this vague sense. If they've called 911, which is not always necessary, especially in my case, and every case is so, so different. But if you have a seizure that's longer than 5 minutes, I mean, you really need to stay with the person. You need to make sure their head's okay, because you can really hit your head.
Right. And can you hear while you're in a seizure?
Mm-mm.
So you're out.
I'm out.
Okay.
I'm off in La La Land.
Right.
I am.
With your firework.
Yeah. And then total velvety blackness.
Wow.
Which is peaceful. But it's the waking up that's a doozy. And people always use this like, Elisa, who's the president? And I'm like,
you're like, fuck
you. I'm not answering that. And no way. So that you always get that voice, and you always are, for me, I always have this vague sense of like blue, navy blue authority in the room somewhere,
right?
Like, with an EMS guy or like the fireman or woman or person. And I'm like, oh, don't tase me. I didn't do anything. And I didn't, you know, I'm not a junkie.
Right.
I'm not a this or that or anything.
Yeah.
I just have epilepsy. And so when I'm looking up at Mr. Hand, handsome guy in the grocery store. I'm like, I'm a spaz. He's like, what? And I'm like, I'm a spaz. And he's like, oh, you had a seizure.
Is that where spaz comes from? Traditionally.
It's a derogatory word. It's associated with a lot of different neurological disorders.
Interesting. See, people always used to call me a spaz.
I'm a total goofball, spaz. Yeah. And so I wanted to call the book spaz. And my
It's a great name.
My daughter was like, you got to call it Memoirs of a, you know, of a like spaz.
That's a great name.
Of an effing spaz. Yeah. Because she's like, because you're a soul-sucking monster. No. But she is so funny. But the publisher has just like, it's really weird when you write a book. They're like, no, we have data. And I love them, but it's not the right. We needed to do two titles of the book because it's been, that's really kind of what it was.
So you did do two titles.
I want to do two titles. Right. Right now it's under my blog name, which is Gotham Girl, because I write about New York weirdos most of the time.
Gotham Girl Interrupted is the book version?
This is the book version. Right. The book version, because I was interrupted.
You were brutally interrupted.
Brutally interrupted. By...
I think that's smart, though. From a business aspect, it is smart to link the blog to it.
It
but
is.
But I do like your creative mind with the spaz, and it's also sort of...
Reclaim it.
Yeah. You're putting some humor to it.
Yeah, and it's not a funny... clinically, it's not
a
great
topic.
It's a bummer. Especially if you have kids who are, you know, diagnosed and dealing with seizures. I mean, that's why I really am excited for the science that's coming.
Yes. And, you know, I've partnered with Charlotte's Web, mm-hmm. and we're talking about CBD. You know, my father passed away from Alzheimer's this past year, and CBD really helped him in those really stressful moments. Have you found any alternative medicines that you...
I have found...
That work for you?
For pain, I've definitely... I made a video, actually, in favor of CBD a while ago for Samantha Bee. And I have found that, yes, CBD for... Because I wasn't... I didn't know that it was going to hurt so much.
Yeah. Like in the healing process.
Oh,
God, for years.
Yeah, for years. And so that has been helpful. And then I feel like there was one instance. I was out at a writing retreat up in Sonoma, and I had the drugs that I take are pretty intense. They're hard. They're kind of hard to get.
Are they like pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, right. Serious.
Steroids, stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, no, not steroids anymore.
Do you have any extras? No, I'm just kidding.
They make you give you quite a moon face. But FedEx was late. The drugs didn't come. And this woman, I had a minor seizure, and she was like, here, this is what you need to do. And she was the Muppet sweater woman, and she was like pretty much plugging a joint in my face and mouth. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. And that, I do think that was helpful in the moment, because
I'm sure.
Just being 12 hours late from, you know, with the package arriving, that affects a lot of people
in this mode.
And I could definitely see it if you're dealing with dementia, if you're dealing with Parkinson's, if you're dealing with
any sort of neurological issue.
Yeah, autism, any kind of anxiety and depression.
Yep.
So that was the other piece, is the anxiety of like, well, my head could just explode any time.
Yeah, are you thinking about it more? Like, how do you, obviously before this happened, were seizures even a thought in your mind? And now how much more of your mind is occupied by that stress?
Well, I pay attention to the
triggers.
The triggers, which are anxiety. I'm trying not to be depressed about it.
No, this is fine, girl. Yeah. We're talking about real shit. Listen, you're hilarious. We're fine.
I'm like, the depression stuff, I mean, I've got my post-seizure playlist, which is...
What is it?
I need to fucking cheer up. I need, like, 90s gummy pop.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's, you know, I saw the sign.
I saw the sign. Oh, my God. Ace of Base?
Ace of Base.
My dad, can I tell you, one day... My dad used to do this call-in at the radio station, like in the 90s. You know, you call in and win CDs or tickets or whatever. And he won like four, I didn't even know they had this many CDs, Ace of Base CDs.
Oh my God.
And he brought them to me like they were like the Holy Grail. I still have them.
Ace of Base.
If that doesn't make you smile, you're dead inside.
I know, you are dead inside. It's like you are just really gone. Good. Bye-bye.
I saw the sign.
Yeah. And I'm waving up from hell. But I...
You got to cheer yourself up.
You have to find ways to make yourself, even if they're little tiny ways, yes, to make yourself feel just a tiny... Like, what immediately is going to make me feel a little bit better about this?
And what for you has changed? Obviously, this changed your life, having to consider triggers for another seizure. But
no,
like,
driving, no swimming, no this. There are all these rules all of a sudden that you have to. Suddenly, the world is full of sharp objects.
You're like, what the fuck?
I have to buy a new coffee table. Now that sounds so bitchy and privileged, and but I was
like, but you went through some shit.
I have to baby-proof my house all over again. For me.
Did you have to do that?
Yeah.
What are
soft edges, curves, man.
Oh, I don't know why that's so soft edges.
It works. I needed it. I was like, I should work at Apple. Isn't everything curved there
yes.
now? And everyone keeps running into the walls and stuff. I would be fine.
Soft edges. What else have you had to do? Like, did your showering situation have to change?
I sing in the shower right after I have a seizure so that I can have a moment and people know I'm fine.
Wow.
So if
do you sing I Saw the Sign?
I sing a lot of show tunes.
Ooh.
I wanted to be like a lounge lizard, lounge I torch like that. Singer.
What's your go-to
Gershwin,
show tune?
Who Cares at the Sky by Gershwin, because he had epilepsy as well.
Wow.
Who Cares at the Sky. I did a lot of... I've been told that I sound like I'm yodeling when I'm doing... these podcasts around the country, and so I did. But I did a lot of like, "Hi on a hill was a lonely goat herd." I mean, I was like, "Okay,
that sounds good."
Lay, lay, lay. So I had to because I was also doing speech therapy,
and it probably helped. You know, bring back some life and energy.
Like,
and
to be able to feel a kiss, I'm still like a year away probably from that, from growing back, so I don't feel anything.
That's like so poetic. I don't know why. Like, to be able to feel a kiss, it's something you take
for
granted.
Do I have peanut butter everywhere? Chocolate?
Do I have peanut butter everywhere? Oh my God, you are hysterical.
Oh, but it's a real thing. And so, like, I look at people also who are dealing with anxiety, depression, other things like chronic fatigue, mm-hmm. Lyme's disease. I mean, Alzheimer's. Like, you really have to, like, how do you learn how to, what's your new normal? How do you?
Yeah, your new normal. Like, you have a whole new normal
now. I know.
Now.
Everyone says that, but it's like really specific.
It is very specific.
To the person.
Have you?
I werewolf myself if I think I'm going to have a seizure, so I lock myself.
You lock yourself in the dungeon?
No, in the soft beds. Like, yeah. And so I go to my soft space, you know, once I see that it's coming. I'm like,
your soft space.
No.
That's genius.
I have to have some padding. So,
yeah. I need you werewolf yourself. That's a great way to describe it.
Well, I don't want to scare the children. And I don't want to hurt. You know, I haven't eaten anyone so far. I just want to make sure that, you know, I don't put myself and that I don't put anyone else in the position of feeling so frightened.
Yeah.
And I think that happens to a lot of people. And there are a lot of caregivers that I'm like, you need to give your of people with epilepsy, people with chronic conditions. Our parents are getting older.
And what is, like, with epilepsy, is there a certain age group that are more susceptible? Because I know children experience it, elderly people experience it. You got it at 40. Is there any sort of, like, with your type of epilepsy, is it common to get it in your 40s?
Mm-mm.
Is it just sporadic? It shows up when it shows up, sort of.
It shows up when it shows up. Again, anyone with a brain, I think we're going to see a lot of veterans and people dealing with, you know, CTE, dealing with head injuries over time, who are dealing with seizures.
Right.
And we're going to have to really look out for those people and find that kind of tribe of people.
Yeah.
Because you need
a community.
You need a community. And I actually, the reason I think I had a community was, like, because I was diagnosed at 40 and I was like, oh, and it, because it was so out of control and I didn't know what I was dealing with, I was like, oh, wait, I'm so naive. I was I'm supposed to be ashamed of this? Because I think if you're diagnosed young or you're diagnosed in an era, because what a lot of people didn't know is, like, up until 1956, it was illegal for epileptics and people with epilepsy to get married.
What?
Even until 1980.
Why?
Missouri had a law on the books.
Oh, fucking Missouri.
Damn it, Janet.
God.
I was like, oh, what, so what was the purpose? I had no idea that I was supposed to be ashamed of this. So I was just out of the closet.
Why couldn't people get married? Were they like Wiccans? They thought they were just some sort of like satanic seizure situation?
People built up so many stories.
Because it was just like a taboo thing that nobody understood because the science wasn't there.
The science wasn't there. Nobody talked about it. It was considered kind of shameful.
The science still quite isn't.
It's still coming.
It's coming. It's like Alzheimer's. Like, it's, you know, we have to talk about it more, normalize it a little bit.
Yes.
And so speaking of that, like,
Alzheimer
I know you have a lot
towns.
Of... yeah.
There are. Do you know about... I write yes. about the Alzheimer's communities in England.
Yeah. And that's so... I think that's progressive.
I think it's cool. If you are experiencing a bout of... you know, at dementia and you know, and you can, people, there are safe shops and safe spaces with the symbol. And that's the other thing. I have like the little talisman of the lipstick when I wake up from a seizure. That's like my stupid little thing.
Right. Is that a common thing for people who have epilepsy of talismans?
I think I'm just a weirdo, but it's right. like, it brings it like, oh, I'm me. I'm still
right.
me.
Right. It's like I the knew. Thing from Inception.
Oh, yes.
The spinny thing.
Or the thing from Stephen King's...
Yeah.
Sissy Spacek. The chess piece.
Yeah.
The queen.
What was it?
Castle Rock.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Total brain fart.
We should
fart.
Do charades. Brain fart. Also a great book title.
Yes. Lots
so
of
you
farting.
Do share.
No sharding. But
what can people expect from this? Because I know...
I would say Tina Fey meets epilepsy or Gilmore Girls meets epilepsy. I don't know. I'm trying to not intrude on anyone else's comedy brand.
Tina Fey meets epilepsy. That sounds like a great show title. I'd watch that.
No, I just had such a say. I had my own kind of Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock
character. Right, right.
Who was like, you need to, you know... Come on, we're going to get a handle on this lemon.
And when did you embark on writing the book between all of this?
I started thinking about the book and writing things down probably in 2011, but I really, really got to it once I broke my face.
Isn't that interesting how...
And couldn't talk.
Right, like, you know, you sometimes don't have a breakthrough without a breakdown in your face.
I had to break everything to break through.
Everything in your face.
And my youngest daughter would be like, and I was trying to explain to her about New York City. I'm like, everything in New York's a little bit broken when you move into your apartment.
Yes, it
like,
is.
Things don't exactly work.
No.
And there's the marriage of the lock and the key, and every key sticks.
Yes.
And you've got to like dip it in olive oil and then
jam it in. And there's all those little details that
it's
don't
little
work.
Little things.
Yes.
And the fridge is always too big. And I'm like, everything is a little bit broken in your mom right now, so I might need a timeout.
Wow. And did it change your relationship with you and your daughters? How did it affect them and you?
I'd say it affected my older daughter, and I want to preserve their kind of sense of their own space because they're adults now. I think it definitely made my youngest daughter very curious about neurology.
Interesting.
And the brain and how it works. But she also really gave her anxiety. And I have to, I want to make sure that, you know, she's got the space to cope with
and process
her own, because, you know, she's run down the street in the dark calling for someone to save
her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to really end epilepsy. And,
yes.
you know, we're all walking nationally on February 2nd at
Where?
The Rose Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in town.
You should come.
Yeah, that would be fun.
We would have a blast.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there with Greg Grunberg and Kurt Eichenwald and a bunch of people from a J.J. Abrams and a bunch of serious people. I'm not fancy, but they're fancy, so I'm just going to be
you're
like...
fancy adjacent.
I'm a hanger-on. I'm a ne'er-do-well.
No, you're a badass.
But we're all going to be there for the walk and just to hang out. And I think it's going to be an amazing day of like thousands of people finally bringing some awareness to like, you know, this is... You can have a happy life.
You can have a happy life and you can have, you know, tools to deal with this.
Yeah. And then you don't, and also other people around you can make room. I mean, honestly, I was tired of tiptoeing.
Yeah. And also, yeah, seriously, tiptoeing because you're catering to people who don't know about it. And
you're like, oh, you look, I might fall down, but just know that I'm all right. And just, you know, here's what you do.
Find a hot guy to wake me up and get my fucking lipstick.
know. Get my lipstick. I need Charlotte Tilbury. It really is. I think it's going to be an amazing date. I'm going to be there with Roman's books. They're coming out from Pasadena.
Nice.
And that's the oldest bookstore, I guess, in LA.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
And they're independent and really cool. And so Gilbert's coming. And we're all just, I think, going to celebrate the people who do a lot and the families who do a lot of caregiving.
And the caretakers.
Caretakers. We'll have a lot of veterans there as well, yeah. I believe. And we're just, I think it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, it sounds really amazing. And where can people find all of your stuff? Your book, your blog.
My trashed book.
Look at this. I love it. You're like, it's off of tour.
It's been on the tour. It's the last one.
I love the color of it. I love when books get like this, though.
It's written.
It's so cool because James Patterson has a quote, smart, harrowing, heartwarming, and very funny. I mean, that's a huge.
He's been amazing, an amazing supporter.
That's a big guy. He's like the top selling author almost of all time. That guy is like,
he's an amazing person. He's
that's
an amazing
great.
Human. And Ned Rust also, who's another writer who works with Jim and all of them. I just feel like I'm so fortunate. So it's everywhere.
And it just came out in November, which is very exciting for you.
Yeah. My only advice is never do a book tour on, when it's snowing.
I know.
It's never really
just stay home when it's snowing.
Stay home. I was just like, oh.
My advice, if never do a book tour when it's snowing and you have epilepsy.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to go out in the most stressful time of the year.
Yeah. And all your events will be like, well, we don't know.
We don't know. There's just 16 feet of snow out there.
It's zero. And
soft edges.
Lots of padding. So that was nice. I wear a very puffy coat. I loved your shirt, by the way, for the SiriusXM. You're like rock, paper, scissors, vagina.
Vagina. Oh. Always wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a coat that's very puffy. I call it the vagina coat.
It looks like, yeah.
It feels like you're inside
of a vagina.
Yeah. And I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's so like snuggly and warm.
Yeah. I was like, I would live here all the time. No wonder. Oh. So, no.
Your blog is Girl Interrupted.
So my blog is I Am Gotham Girl. I'm at alisajones.com. The
Rice.
Book is in every Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. We made it to number one for
awesome.
5 seconds. And then, of course it went away.
But I feel like this is going to be one of these books that sort of helps get rid of the negative stigmas and bring some light to an illness, a diagnosis that a lot of people, like you said, 65 million people are living with this. And the fact that you can live with it.
You can.
With some humor and tools.
Yes.
Which is, that's hope enough for somebody to keep going and have a new normal.
You need, if you're diagnosed with epilepsy, you don't just need a neurologist, you need a whole team.
Yeah.
You need an epilepsy specialist. You need someone who really, you need your tribe.
Yeah, you do.
And Neurotribes was also a book that I read while I was writing this book, and it's by Steve Silberman, and he writes about the sort of legacy of autism and how autistics need a tribe. People with autism need that their tribe as well, and that there can be some positive adaptive. I'm sorry, I'm sounding like a nerd now.
Yeah, it's nerd out. I got a lot of nerd fans.
At,
yeah,
yeah,
nerd out. I love it.
You can. There's a lot of upside, I'll just say, to our brains being as weird as they are.
And I think, you showing just your light and your humor and overcoming and finding your footing in this new world that essentially you're in is like super amazing. It really, you're honestly one of the coolest chicks I've met in a long time. You really are.
Oh.
Just
you guys.
I mean that because I love meeting people who have gone through such adversity and trauma and tragedy and found and survived and didn't make it the thing that keeps you back. You weren't a victim of it. You're like, how do I not only live, how can I thrive?
I need to have some fucking fun. I really do. It's the pockets of joy between seizures that I think make a big difference. And everyone relates to that because we all have our moments where we're like, fuck.
Yes, we do.
I'm sorry to swear so much.
No, I mean, I'm glad that you did. I feel honored that you got here and you were able to let out some fuck
and
bombs.
I've got crazy hair.
Yeah, you came in, you're just like, let's go.
Where's the dog? Oh, so cute.
Alyssa Kennedy Jones, you've been a bright light. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for helping me find this joint.
Yes, I'm glad you found it. And me, and anytime
let's write something.
Yes, when you have anything that you are that's coming up, please send me information. I'm going to let everybody know about the walk.
A real books when I can find one.
Yes, when you have one, please. And the walk is February 2nd.
Yes.
The Rose Bowl.
Yes.
And make sure you guys check that out. I'll put all the info on this episode.
I'll send you all the links and whatnot.
Send me everything.
Fuck. This is life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.